This is the KVNF Regional Newscast for Friday, December 25th. I'm Gavin Dahl. The holidays can bring joy and cheer, but also stress and loneliness. KVNF's Jody Peterson has more on the mental health resources available to help us through this often challenging time.
This year, the holidays are especially difficult for many of us. As the pandemic forces changes in long-held traditions, and we have to forego the usual social gatherings. Laura Bayard, a regional director for the Center for Mental Health, describes how this all impacts our state of mental well-being.
During the holidays, there is a lot that people are dealing with, and some of those stressors can compound on already difficult situations. And especially now, as people are dealing with, you know, maybe financial stressors or isolation or separation from loved ones or disruption in their normal routine. Sometimes the holidays, on top of all of those other things, can make life just a little bit more stressful. And so we definitely want to make sure that if someone is feeling down, overwhelmed, and certainly if they're thinking of suicide, then we want to make sure that we connect them with services, especially this time of year. It is harder to recover because of the pandemic. So natural things that we would encourage people to do or people would naturally do on their own, like connecting with friends or going out or doing a social event, you know, those things are not accessible right now. They're not safe to do. And so that makes it harder to recover.
Do you have any suggestions?
We definitely want to connect people with their natural supports where they can find them. And so making sure that people reach out, encouraging them to connect with loved ones, giving an old friend a call. Everyone appreciates right now getting connected and talking to someone who's important to them, whether that's texting or phone calling, just reaching out and connecting as we can. Being mindful that this is temporary. It's gone on longer than any of us would like, for sure, but it is temporary. It will pass. So people really deserve some support right now. It's been a really hard year.
Can you talk a little bit about what resources are available for people?
The Center for Mental Health covers Montrose, Delta, Gunnison, Hinsdale, Ouray, and San Miguel counties. Of course, we have a 24-hour line that people can call. So they can call 970-252-6220, and they'll get connected to a trained professional who will support them through whatever they're dealing with. They don't have to wait until it's a crisis. They certainly can call in a crisis, but if they just need some support around a mental health or behavioral health issue, or they have some concerns, they can give us a call 24 hours a day.
That was Laura Bayard, a regional director for the Center for Mental Health. For KVNF, I'm Jody Peterson.
The nomination of Congresswoman Deb Haaland as our nation's first Indigenous cabinet secretary is more than symbolic. For many, it signals a potential shift in the relationship between tribes and the federal government. The Mountain West News Bureau's Savannah Marr reports.
In 2018, Deb Haaland became one of the first Indigenous women ever elected to U.S. Congress. Soon after, she paid a visit to her constituents at the Pueblo of Sandia, just outside of Albuquerque. Stephanie Poston was there.
She came to the Pueblo for one of our feast days, and the young girls, a couple of them were following her around, and she stopped to talk to them. It was just an amazing thing to see and witness.
Poston says Deb Haaland may as well have been a celebrity to those girls, but she didn't act like one.
She's just that person who will stop and see you.
And Poston says that's how Indigenous people have been feeling since Haaland was nominated to lead the Department of the Interior. Seen.
Indian country has shout it from the valleys, from the mountaintops, that it's time. It's overdue.
Haaland comes from the pueblos of Laguna and Jimenez. If she's confirmed by the Senate, she'll be running the department that works most closely with tribal governments. John Echohawk is a citizen of the Pawnee Nation of Oklahoma. He heads up the Native American Rights Fund.
Right, it's a historic event.
His nonprofit offers legal services to tribes around the nation. He says federal officials typically lack an understanding of tribal sovereignty and treaty rights.
Well, that lack of knowledge of Indian law and policy and history is really the biggest problem that our people face.
But Haaland's understanding of tribal issues is rooted in both lived experience and a specialized degree in Indian law.
Makes all the difference in the world. She thoroughly understands these issues, thoroughly, and she knows what it means to tribes and tribal members to have good decisions made regarding their rights.
Echo Hawk says many tribes are currently locked in battles over the status of their land or over the protection of their sacred sites. Holland has been vocal about these issues as vice chair of the House Natural Resources Committee. Here she is back in February of this year.
But a sacred site that's been blasted, it can never be made whole again. I want you to understand that.
She asked a representative from President Trump's Interior Department how he can sleep at night after his department authorized the blasting of a site sacred to the Tohono O'odham Nation in southern Arizona. It was part of a project to make way for the border wall.
The damage that this administration is doing to this area, it's irreparable. And you didn't even ask. Nobody asked permission of these people to do any of that.
Tribal leaders are ready to hold Holland to her word about tribal consultation, including Jordan Dresser. He's chairman of the Northern Arapaho tribe.
I'm just really excited for her.
Dresser heard the news just after his nation received its first shipment of the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine.
It just feels like another glimmer of hope for us.
But Dresser says her nomination prompts mixed emotions. That's because his tribe relies heavily on oil and gas revenue. Holland is a supporter of the Green New Deal and is opposed to many of the fossil fuel industry's interests.
A lot of tribes that do rely on oil and gas, you know, it could be almost seen as a gamble. But in a way, it's like this is another tool for us.
In other words, an opportunity for his tribe and others to transition into alternative energy. Dresser already had big plans to diversify the Northern Arapaho economy, and he hopes Holland's Interior Department will provide support. For right now, he's basking in this historic moment.
If a kid sees somebody who looks like them and sounds like them in certain positions, then they know it's a possibility. So to me, her being in that is a huge win, and it's going to inspire a whole generation of Indigenous youth.
Stephanie Poston draws inspiration from Holland's personal story. She's a single mom. She's experienced homelessness. She began her formal political career in her 50s and was still paying off student loans during her first term in Congress.
Like you tell your kids, like, you can be an astronaut, you can be anything you want to be, and in your heart, you totally believe that.
But Poston says the challenges for her people are enormous. Holland, she says, has proved it can happen.
She's like our congresswoman. She's our astronaut. She's like that you can really overcome some of the most challenging circumstances.
For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Savannah Marr.
If you have tested positive for COVID-19 and recovered, we want to speak with you about your experience with symptoms, contact tracing, and your own recovery. Email us at news@kvnf.org. That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to news reporter Kate Redman. I'm Gavin Dahl. Thanks for listening.